The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate, the Championship and other packs. Weekend's action just passed and we're going to review it all. We've got two top J correspondents coming on the show, Peter Campbell, and later on Declan Bogue, and also intermediate winning manager Barry Meehan is going to join us for a roundup of the Junior and Intermediate Championships. But first up, we've got the head of sport here, the man who's magic on the mic. It's the one and only Oisin Kelly, looking through the glass. Mate, how are you today, Oisin?
No, I'm not too bad, Brendan, and yourself?
You had a busy weekend again now. It's coming thick and fast.
Yeah, it's good to have it, so does Brendan. Good to have it. We had another live game at the weekend, and there was, of course, 8 fixtures spread across Friday to Sunday, so it's great to be in the thick of football, so does.
Yeah, Donald Park Friday night. Did it live up to its billing? It was always going to be difficult to do it. We were so excited about this. We kept talking about this top four, but, you know, again, and I think tactics now has taken over so much of the game. Everybody's keep ball, playing the percentages. You know, a game sometimes can spring to life, but it rarely did. And I think Kilcare will kick themselves they didn't win the match.
They'll be kicking themselves very hard, because when you go, 7 points up, Brendan, a minute into the second half, you think you would see out the game, but Kilcare only managed one score after that, which was hugely disappointing from the way that they played in the first half from a Kilcare point of view. Unions weren't good in the first half. So they weren't, and they couldn't handle the two McHughes. But looking at the game, Kilcare let them back into it, and once they had that chance to get into it, the Unions just kept chasing them down and cutting away at that advantage that they had. And then they got that goal at the end, which was a bit scrappy. But I think a draw in the end would have been a fair enough result. Was there a bit of shadow boxing going on? Maybe it was either side holding something back in case they might meet down the line. I don't know. But for looking at it, you would say Kilcare, when they left the pitch on Friday night, they'd be very, very disappointed, because one thing you have to learn in football is if you can get an advantage, you need to see you out of game. Mm. And Kilcare didn't do that, and they let St. Jonas.
It's interesting you say it, Oisin, because I'm always looking at the flow of a game, and Kilcare looked like they had three or four players maybe that could kind of puncture Unions when they went forward. You know, you obviously have the two McHughes, the two McBertys, you know, McGinley, McLean. You look at times they can maybe get beyond their men, and Unions seem to be getting stripped when they get in and around the house. And again, going back to Niall O'Donnell, he looked like the one player that could open up Kilcare, but at half time, you say 1-7 to 4 points. It was only going one way, but there was a period in the second half, and particularly Ryan McHugh would be the playmaker for Kilcare. I think Kilcare were three or four up at the time. I can't remember. There was about 8 minutes on the clock, and he turned around, he started to play the ball back. And I just thought to myself, how many times have we seen that where a team kind of thinks we'll sit on the lead and you invite something like the sucker points, the high ball in, and that scrappy goal as you got. And, you know, Unions maybe could have snookered it.
They could have done it, yeah. They could have won the game.
Yeah, so they could.
They could have won the game, but they got a share of the spoils, so yeah, they did. Yeah. So two of the big four, apparently.
There's a lot of debate now about this big four. Who's in it? Is there a big two, maybe a three and a four? But we'll go on that.
That's a question for Peter Campbell.
That's a question for Peter. Listen, what about the lads down in Termon? They've had a tough championship, and of course a tough draw now coming up away to Kilcare at first game out, and then a loss at the weekend, and now the draw is taking them away to Neave Connaught.
It's a tough draw. You would have hoped that maybe they would have got an easier game, but listen, it's going to be very, very difficult. If they can put on a good performance, they showed a bit of gut and a bit of character in the second half in the defeat against Bundoran. Now, Bundoran, they sort of let them back into it, so they did, because Bundoran were cruising 10 minutes into the second half, and then Termon got the goal, and Termon chased them down, and maybe if they knew exactly how much time was going to be added on at the end, they might have knocked over the points instead of going for the goals, and they could have been closer. But now, if Termon can put up a bit of performance and show that bit of gut and character they did in the second half against Neave Connell, I'm sure the management would be okay, because it's all sort of changing the Termon, so it is. But you would expect Neave Connell to win it. People's going to start thinking that this podcast of yours is turning into a Unions Termon thing, Brendan.
We got to mention them.
We seem to be talking about them every week.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to change it up.
The senior side, we're going to discuss everybody now, and a man that's on the line to do that with us is the one and only Peter Campbell. How are you today?
Good to be. Very, very good.
Peter, talking about senior championships and different teams, how many years are you covering it now?
Oh, since 1990. I was in the printing department in the Donegal Democrat, and Connie Duffy decided that he didn't want to cover GAA anymore, and I was drafted in to do kind of double job, And just in time for Donegal won the All-Ireland 2 years later, and haven't been able to get away from it since.
That would make you fall in love with it around those times, all right, Peter. Interesting stuff. And tell me, at the weekend, Peter, what did you get up to? Did you catch any games?
I was in, very interesting. I was in Gidor on Saturday and then went to Glenfinn. And I was at the intermediate match between the local derby, between Neabreed and Eirua yesterday. And like the weather at the weekend for football was a pleasure. And matter of fact, people were remarking on Mahara Gallen that there was hardly a breeze in it, and like everybody was in their sun gear. Very unusual down there. But you know, you're sort of talking about the top four and top two or top three, whatever we have. But like Gidor were ruthless on Saturday against Killybegs, and obviously Neve Connell were ruthless yesterday against Ardragh. And it's beginning to look like there may be a top two, and then whether the other two or three can reach that level. But those two teams seem to be ahead at the moment, and it's good. And like Poor St. Nolls and Terman have to meet them this weekend, and maybe there might be a couple of big clashes in the last draw. You know, we could see maybe Kilcar, Gidor, and St. Junan's Glenties meeting in the last round of games, which would make it interesting. But yeah, there might be more shadow boxing then.
More shadow boxing, right? But tell me, Gidor, the week previous, there was a bit of talk that they should be racking up big scores, that they didn't really come out of the blocks too sharp. But you were saying that they were very impressive. I mean, spread of scores right across the pitch. Nobody, again, which is kind of the way Gidor's form is, there isn't kind of one score that bees, you know, like most of the other teams seem to have a main man, one or two that do a lot of their scoring, whereas Gidor have this huge spread across their team. But as a team, very impressive. I mean, scoring 3-13 and conceding 6 points is one-way traffic.
Yeah, I think it was 11 different scorers they had, and like the some of the individual performances were well above the normal. And even from the start, and the very first attack that Kelly Beggs had, the first attack, and one of the Gidor players was knocked down as he was coming out of his possession, and I think Neil McGee laid down the law right away, and he set the tone that, you know, Gidor, we're at home here today, and we're in front of our own supporters. And from there until the finish, they never really took the foot off the throttle. You know, it's unusual, like you were talking about Kilcar maybe easing off in the second half against St. Junan's. That didn't happen in Mahara Gallen, and you know, the supporters on the sideline wouldn't allow it to happen. And there are going to be big scores racked up, because you know, teams want to finish in the top four, and they probably finish, maybe the further up you do, the easier the quarter final you get. So you know, it's a recipe for teams to keep the foot down and put up big scores. And you'd feel sorry for, you know, some of those the smaller clubs when they have to meet them.
Yeah,
and you know, St. Olds and Termon being the two next weekend.
Yeah, and Peter, just looking at modern football now, tactically, you know, the setup and the preparation of teams, and you're seeing it at county level as well. The better teams, the bigger squads, this kind of, there's never a drop in performance, really. There is a very odd one, you know, you might say, you'll see an odd scare in there, or a team comes close, but if the better teams, because they're playing that percentage game, what it does is it protects them at the back, and then it allows their forward players to have so much of the ball in terms of they're going to create X amount of chances, and it really leaves that smaller team almost impossible for them to bridge the gap.
Yeah, but I think the clubs, you know, club football in Donegal over the last 3 or 4 years, I think, has improved considerably. Like Kilcar put it up to Sloughneil 3 or 4 years ago, and then you had the Gidor and the O'Connells, you know, getting to winning Ulster and getting to Ulster finals, and like that wasn't the way in Donegal, you know, up until these last number of years. There's clubs are preparing very, very well, and you'd see, look what Corrifin have done in the last 2 weeks, the tallies that they've put up, and you know, clubs have to try and match that, you know, if they want to compete. I know there's no All-Ireland club this year, but you know, the good clubs have to, you know, they have to put an awful lot into it. St. Junan's probably the youngest panel at the moment, and maybe they're going the right way about it. They're they might be 1 or 2 years short of you know, of reaching that level. Kilkerr have talent, you know, they have very good individual players. They probably need to get more leadership probably on the park to match the Gidors and the Neve Connells. But they're not that far away now, and you know, when I think we probably have a top four, and then I was just talking to my Brian McInniff for his column last night, and he thinks by next weekend, after the draw last night, that we will have the top six assured of a quarter-final place, and there'll probably only be two places that'll be that clubs will be playing for in the final round of games.
Only two up for grabs, yeah. Interesting stuff. And tell me, Glenfinn, sitting all, it's 2 out of 2 for Glenfinn, and we've a couple of players rolling back the years in this year's championship, and Frank McGlynn's won them out. Was he operating around midfield?
He's operating around midfield. I actually have seen their two games so far. I saw them in Killybegs and on Saturday evening against St. Noel's. And they're a very, very tight unit, very well drilled. And, you know, they're taking their leadership from Frank McGlynn. And then, I suppose, Gerard Ward, you know, we know that he's a very, very good footballer. He said, bit of trouble with injuries maybe over the years, but he seems in very, very good form. Scored not 8 in Killybegs and 1-10 against St. Noel's on Saturday evening.
And 1-5 from play, which is some scoring outside of your taking your freeze as well. A huge contribution from him.
He and even in general play, you know, the way he could lay off the ball. He won a ball out the sideline on the dressing room sides one time, and there was a fella coming and he was about to be hit from behind, but in the quickest hands I've seen, similar to maybe Michael Murphy, he was down and he flicked the ball back to a colleague right away. You know, very intelligent footballer. He was an intelligent footballer as a minor when they won Ulster back in 2006, probably one of the most intelligent full forwards we had. Maybe didn't have the pace to make it at senior level at that time. But, you know, he has made some contribution to that club over the last 10 or 11 years.
He has indeed. Another man I think could be getting called back in the Declan Boner's panel is Colin McFadden, hit 1-9 for out of St. Michael's 114 as he defeated Milford. You know, kept himself in amazing shape, you know, and a couple of them things, you know, flashing up. You know, it's funny the life that can get back in the players, even at that level, you know, you'd think they'd be winding down the years, but McFadden probably at the minute, you know, the top forward in our championship.
I was thinking, did you ever score 1-9 when you were 37?
Certainly not, sir, certainly not.
Yeah, well, he's an amazing, but I suppose you never lose it, and he knows how to score goals, he always did. Those goals he scored for Donegal in the All-Ireland, so, in that semi-final against Dublin in 2014, he'd send the goalkeeper the wrong way with a wee shimmy, and similar to you had that shimmy as well, but he was on the other foot.
That's tell you what, class is permanent, and Colin McFadden certainly has that. Just a quick one. I was at the Ardra Neve Connell game yesterday, and you were just hoping for any bit of play in it at all. Of course, Ardra missing a couple of players like Sir Conor Class and big Brendan Boyle not there, but again, you know, these games, Peter, you're kind of clutching the straws. He never scored until the 27th minute, and Neve Connell actually had quite a few wides in the game as well. There was a couple of brilliant one-on-one saves in the Ardra back line. Like, they kept out the goals, which was surprising over the course of a game, but really, you know, it was two teams on completely different levels, and as we spoke about just a few minutes ago, you feel sorry for sides like that. You know, you love the derby games down the years of Ardra and Neve Connell would always been tight, but now two teams on completely different levels.
Yeah, I suppose the only upside for Ardra is they didn't concede a goal, but you know, they've been ravaged by injury, and you know, when Neve Connell can start without Dermot Loy and Leo McLoone, you know, and to have that sort in reserve as well, you know, they have to be one of the top sides. They know how to win games now, similar to Gidor, I suppose, and you know, it's no coincidence that they were the two of them were in the final last year, and I would nearly predict at this stage, if they avoid each other, you know, it could be a repeat of last year's final on current form. other teams have to match that.
Yeah, young one McGilligan flying for Niamh Connolly is there with 8 points. Now, just looking forward to the feature there. Oisín, your feature game next week, what are you going to look at? Because the draw, again, hasn't thrown up anything, as we keep talking about maybe the bigger sides haven't played each other, but there's certainly a very interesting encounter in it. The one that you've picked out as the one you would like to cover.
Yeah, our feature game this week is going to be Saturday night, Brendan, which is McCool's against Glenfinn. It's a derby clash. There's two standout fixtures, really, Kilcare, Glen Swilly, but the fiddlest McCool's Glenfinn one, given the way they've played this year in the Championship. Both of them, of course, have 2-1s from two. How impressive Glenfinn have been in their opening two games, as Peter just alluded to. And the fact that it is a huge derby and it's going to be in McCool Park, that game will be live this coming weekend from 7:30 on Saturday evening.
Yeah, certainly. And what do you think of that, Peter? Is that the title ring?
Yeah, it on paper it looks the game of the weekend. McCool's they've done very, very well in recent times, and they went to Bundoran before the start of the Championship and beat them in the league as well. So you know they are on a good run of form. They have a fairly young team this year, but then I suppose Oisín Gallan being back and being going so well, and he's doing more than just playing inside. He's coming out the field and setting up scores as well. And they defeated Ardra. I know Ardra came back at them towards the end. You would expect that there would be two teams that were on a fairly level, standard, and there should not be much between them.
Right.
If you take, they're probably in the best of the rest, if you know what I mean, along with probably St. Michael's. And yeah. I won't be surprised if both of them make the quarterfinals anyway, even the team that loses on Saturday night. They should be in the reckoning to make the quarterfinal anyway.
Yeah, could be a bit of a shootout between Gerard Ward and Oisín Gallan.
The winners will surely be in the quarterfinal. Yeah. Draw. That's the bonus.
We were just mentioning the Oisín earlier, tough draw for Terman, though, away to Niamh Connell. For Masters and Dunloe, then two teams that are yet to get off the mark. Both of them will be looking for some kind of form to get points on the board in that game. How do you see that one going, Peter?
Yeah, well, for Masters, will probably take encouragement. They kept in the game, I know, for quite a period against Gidor in the opening game, and they ran for against Glen Swilly to 4 points in Glen Swilly on yesterday evening. That's a big improvement on after getting beaten by Niamh Breed and Niamh Ulton in the league, two local neighbours from a division below them. They're obviously finding a little bit of form. And then Dunloe, probably unlucky to lose away to St. Noel's and only lost by 3 points to McCool's, and they'll think that this is the opportunity for them to get on the board. And really, it's probably a battle to stay away from the relegation playoff.
Yeah.
That some of those teams will be involved in. Like, there will be teams that, after round three will have no points, but one of those two is going to get up to 2 points, and that might be enough to get away from the relegation playoff, because that's probably the biggest aim for those two clubs at the stage.
Yeah, and the big game for St. Noel's at home to Gidor, winning the first Championship game and how long coming up from intermediate, and they're hosting a team 2018 Ulster champions, and I suppose nothing to lose there, and huge stakes, for the club, a savage amount of work being done down there, and this is I suppose a dream time for them in terms of being up in the senior.
Oh yeah, it'll be a big day for them on Saturday to take Gidor up, because it'll be a long, long time since Gidor would have played a game in Mount Charles. I was probably playing at that stage. that's how long ago it is. They were without Pádraig Mógán on Saturday evening. Now that's a huge loss. Pádraig got a cut on his head against Dunloe, and it required stitches. So I think there was a slight concussion as well. So they expect that he'll be back, and that'll give them some platform. You probably have to wear some headgear or scrum cap or something, but he should be able to play. They're up against a Titanic side. This Gidor side have so much and they're on a roll at the moment. And, you know, they probably feel hard done by losing out last year after three games in the county final. So, you know, this is, they'll think this is their year again.
Yeah, yeah. And a repeat of the... What final was that? Kilcare, Glenswy, 2016?
16, yeah,
County
Brandon.
Final, yeah. Actually, that's an interesting game as well.
It is, but you would see Kilcare as favourites, and Peter will probably very much agree with me. I think the fact Kilcare is going to be seething that they let that lead go against St Unans, and they want to make a statement in the next game. Glenswally, they got their first one. They beat Four Masters. What was on it? Four scores, was it, last night, on it? Out of Glenswally. So they've got their first one. They're up and running. They're off the mark. They'll know themselves they're going to go to townie as underdogs. But if they can get Michael Murphy singing and they can get the rest of those young players gelling together in townie, things might work out for them. And they probably could trouble Kilcare, but you would expect the home side to come through off the back of the performance the last day against Unans, knowing that they should have done better. It'll be interesting to see who's going to pick up Michael Murphy. How many are they going to put on Michael Murphy? Michael Murphy and
more the question.
And Tony. They'll, like, if you look back at that 16 final, it was the Michael Murphy Neil Gallagher show that day. There's no Neil Gallagher anymore for Glenswally, which is a huge, huge loss for them. So are they now being over dependent? They were on Michael Murphy already, but now is that extended again?
Yeah.
Glenswally went to the bridge in the first game. Had Michael Murphy not missed that penalty, would the result have been different?
Yeah.
Because Glenswally would be very good that, right, let's get in front and then let's sit back.
Yeah.
So can they get in front in townie?
Yeah.
And maybe sit back and hold on and try and get something out of it. But they'll know they're underdogs. So they will. I expect Kilcare anyway to win it.
Yeah, it'd be a bit of blanket defence.
There would be a healthy rivalry there between those two clubs over, you know, over the last 6 or 7 years. So, you know, that'll come into play as well. I think maybe the last time they met in Kilcare, Kilcare would have won. But, you know, Neil Gallagher is a big missing link for Glenswally. I think if he were still there, you would nearly fancy them to give Kilcare their fill of it. But, you know, with the talent that Kilcare have up front, it's going to be very hard for the Glenswally defence to hold them.
Yeah, and tell me, Peter, two teams come up from intermediate recently and have held their own in the First Division, Bundoran and Milford clash.
Yeah, that's, you know, Bundoran were very average first day out against against St Unans. Then I suppose every team, all the teams will be average against the bigger teams anyway. But they had Gary Clancy back last weekend and he makes a difference because they were able to release Jamie Brennan out to centre half forward. Now the loss of Paul Brennan, I presume he'll be out for after getting a received red card in Termon. He'll be a huge loss, and you know that'll give Milford some comfort. And I think Milford have a good enough record in Bundoran, so it might be closer. Bundoran probably be favoured, slight favourites to do it. And if they won that game, they would probably be one of the favourites to be in the last eight for the quarterfinals.
Yeah,
Milford have to win, I suppose, after losing twice and losing heavily the first time around. They were, I think, slightly better against St Michael's, so. They'll be hoping to get off the mark, or otherwise they'll be on 0 points going into the last round.
Yeah, that's one of four games on Sunday. Starts off on Friday night. We've got obviously the Neve Connell Termon game on Friday night. There's three on Saturday and four on Sunday. And the other game, the other three games on Sunday are St Michael's and Ardragh, Kilcare and Glenswy we've discussed, and Killybegs and St Unans. And Killybegs coming into this championship, Peter, a lot of people talking about their possible ability to start to come back to a side that can compete, and it's been very tough for them in the championship.
Yeah, and like they talked out last weekend without Hugh McFadden and his civvies outside the fence, whether he's fit enough, whether the hamstring has recovered in time for this weekend, it would be doubtful, because usually it takes maybe 3 to 4 weeks, and if you want to, you could risk it, but you'd probably do more damage if you come back too soon. Like they've been hit by injuries, hit by absentees, maybe as much as injuries as well. Ryan Cunningham was injured. He hurt his hand. I think broke a bone in his hand. And his younger brother Connor kind of not available this year. Michael Yeller is not available. And Seamus Ogburn picked up an injury against Linfin, maybe a hamstring as well. So, you know, they're very, very curtailed. And, you know, they would have been hoping for probably a better draw than St Union's. It's very difficult to see anything past St Union's win. Owen Vaughan is in the middle of the field trying to do the work of three or four men.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to be run down by a young team. And with, you know, the St Union's have so much good firepower up front. I know that a lot of them are young yet, but, you know, they're learning every day. You know, young McGettigan is full forward. Like, he's a handful under a high ball. And the three O'Donnell brothers, like, it's very unique to have three brothers in the half forward line, and one more talent than the other. Obviously, they'd be without Niall after his moment of badness on Friday night, but very, very unlike him to be involved. You know, he probably didn't mean to do it with so much force, kicking the ball away. He probably just wanted to stop play, but. I don't think St Junior's, you know, they'll be able to go to Killybegs without him, and he'll probably just get the one game, so he'll be back for the big games coming forward, and you can't see anything other than a Union's win.
Yeah, and tell me, left the last team, St Michael's, who are playing our drag, who've had a tough championship so far. I'm just wondering, Peter, we keep talking about this 2-3-4 whatever way. Is St Michael's the one team outside of that, that you think could cause one of those teams to exit the championship? Could they make it to a semi or a final?
Depending on whether they have Michael Langan back. They probably have enough without Michael to beat our draw, but if they want to, you know, compete against the other top four, maybe cause a slight shock, Langan's going to have to be back. And the word isn't that good that he may be out for a number of weeks with damaged ligaments. So that will be a loss. But I know the quarterfinals are not to the first weekend of September. It's probably 3 weeks from this weekend, is it? There's a weekend between the last round and the start of the quarterfinals. So he possibly could be back for then, and that, you know, that would give them a chance. And I expect them to beat our draw, and I expect them to be in that quarterfinal draw, whether they're in fourth position or fifth position or sixth position. You know, if they keep winning, you know, they could get into the top four and would have a home draw, which would make it even easier for them.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, Peter. Thanks for the roundup there. All happening next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in the Senior Championship. We're looking forward to it, Peter, and I'll catch you at one of the games, no doubt. Now, part two on the DL debate, we're going to take a look at the Intermediate and Junior Championships from the weekend, and we have an expert on the line, a man who lifted the Intermediate Trophy last year. It's Barry Meehan. How are you today, sir?
How's it going, Brendan? All good, thank you.
Good man yourself. Barry, a couple of big victories at the weekend. Fannad posting a big score. Mallon as well. A real one and well. Boncrana one and well. A lot of the big teams beginning to flex their muscles. But the tie of the round probably ended in a draw. Clonmacnoise and Neave Columba, 2-13-3-10. Sounded like a cracker.
Yeah, listen, it was the tie of the round, and listen, it was a draw after a titanic tussle. Suppose Clonmacnoise were 2-4-3 points up after 20 minutes with Paul Sweeney hitting another brace this week, 2 weeks in a row where he's hit two goals. But then two goals from Aaron Doherty, one from a penalty and one from play, got Neave Columba right back into it. And then after Ryan Gillespie was fouled, Aaron Doherty converted another penalty. So that left it 3-7-2-8. You know, so Clonmacnoise were a point down going into injury time. They rallied, John Fitzgerald levelled it. Then Ronan Gillespie put Neave Columba ahead again, only for Connor Coyle to level it then at the end. So listen, I would say Pádraig O'Donnell's probably the happiest, you know, with a long journey from Glendown to Clonmacnoise to get out of there with a point. Clonmacnoise have a big game now this weekend coming against Éireann. Éireann did well there at the weekend. They posted a big score against Neave Breed, 118-29. Only Breed probably had their own troubles during the week when they parted company with Dougie Corbett last Tuesday night. So yeah, probably wasn't the best preparation going into the weekend. Eru there, they had Roisin Rooney back this week, you know, and he chipped in with a goal. And suppose, from what I hear, was very influential in the full forward line. I think Philip Patton got a lot off him. He finished with 10 points. You know, so Eru were 1-9 to 4 at the break. You know, and suppose Barry Ward will be a lot happier this week with how they went out in the second half. You know, they didn't take the foot of the pedal. While Niamh Breed got two quick goals, I think Eru were always in control and they closed that there out. So listen, there's going to be a big game now next week. And suppose that's going to be the tie around Clonmany against Eru down in Fallowcherney Park. Eru actually have a 100% record there in the last year between league and championship. They haven't been beaten, they haven't dropped any points. So that's going to be a tough, tough game for Clonmany. And they're going to be looking to, you know, if they want to be seeded for the quarterfinals, they're probably going to need to get a one here to get themselves right back into contention. So that's going to be a really, really good game. Fanny Gales did very well at the weekend. You know, they put up a big score against Burt, and they'll be very, very happy with that there. You know, Aidan McAteer, he's really building up a young team at the moment, and Mark and Alan McAteer accounted for 10 of their 18 points at the weekend, you know. So listen, they have a tough assignment this week as well. They're heading down to Glen. But what you'll have there is two good young teams going at it. So it'll be interesting to see how that there turn out. Glen, again, probably looking to be seeded for the quarterfinal. Fanny Gael's looking to get into a quarterfinal position now. So listen, they have everything to play for now after getting that there one against Burt. And suppose Burt and Niamh Breed, it's really a case of whichever team loses there could be in trouble really for relegation in that group. Group B, you have Niamh Wirra, who probably, you know, we're struggling for form coming into it, are sitting at the top now along with Buncrana. They had a really, really good one at the weekend. They beat Niamh Alton 2-12-10. Paddy McCafferty hitting another goal this week again, so that's three and two weeks for him. But young Owen Martin there kicked 8 points, three from freeze and five from play. You know, so that's a really, really good return there. Niamh Alton looked to be in a bit of bother, you know, after losing to Niamh Colmkill last Monday in what was supposed to be a real championship affair. They lost again there now, so that leaves them in a bit of bother going into round three. Buncrana had a good one against Red Hughes, and again Red Hughes are probably a team that would have fancied their chances of making a quarter final. They're, if they don't win this week, they could be in bother. They could be in a relegation battle there. So listen, Buncrana really, really well. Oran Doherty 0-6 from play, and John Campbell 1-2, you know, so they're looking good at the top. So Niwara and Buncrana looking good in that group. Mallon bounced back after last week's defeat to Buncrana and beat Niamh Colmkill. Losing at the break, 7-6, came back. It was they hit 1-9 in the second period and they kicked 9 points in the last 10, 15 minutes, you know, after the last water break to come out winners there. So listen, Robert Farron will be very happy with that there. Going forward now, Mallon, if they can get a one this week, have thrown themselves right back into contention there. So listen, that group's really up for grabs. So it'll be interesting now over the next week to see how it pans out. But you're still thinking like the top three. You're talking about Eirua, Niamh Columba and Clonmany, and probably from the other group. At the moment, it's looking like Niamh Wirra, Buncrana, and then Mallon, Niamh Colmkill, etc., fighting it out for that last spot there. So it's all going to be interesting there,
Ben. Yeah, very interesting championship. There seems to be, you know, I think that the senior one seems to be all pointing to one or two teams, where it looks like in that intermediate, you know, there's so many teams that could go on a run and could go all the way. And even looking at Mallon there, you know, it's only a few years ago where they were very close to getting into a senior county final, and you know they've still got that, you know, that basis of a senior team in them. So tough for Niamh Colmkill. I mean, they say they held their own up in the first half, but Mallon pulling away in the second half. So yeah, interesting stuff to come up. Barry, you run your eye over the junior championship at the weekend there, and results and teams again that you think are going to be there thereabouts at the end.
Yeah, I suppose the big game that kind of stood out was the Urus and the Wirra convoy. You know, I was chatting to Lawrence McMullen recently, and the convoy had actually pinpointed this game as, you know, a difficult, difficult one where they were heading to Urus, a tight pitch, and he felt if they could get a result up there, it was going to put them in a real good position. And they did get that result. Now, this game was really neck and neck the whole way. It was a point, then a point apiece, 2 points, 2 points apiece, the whole way up, and it was level at 8 apiece, and then convoy got a goal, and that was the key score in that game. Was Matthew Coyle's goal? He came off the bench for convoy, and they finished out that game. Now Urus came back at them again, came back to a point, but convoy finished it out and won that game 110-11. Was that there leaves them top of the table there now at the moment with 2-1s. Cairn Donna got their campaign off to a after they got their first one of the campaign over, and then a show in Derby against Muff. And you know, it was good to see young Conor O'Donnell back here. He's had a tough time. He had a cruciate injury there a couple of years back. He was back in form, and he kicked 9 points for Cairn. So that's them off the mark, you know, and so they'll be looking to kick on now this week. And the second group, you know, listen, suppose the big one was you're looking at Downing's, how they would react after last week, and boy, did they react. 11-14-7, you know.
I had to double check that. I just couldn't believe it. I said, was that a type in there? You know, when I seen it come through, it was mad. You weren't having the word with your former co-manager, Eddie Brennan, there, no?
Indeed I was. Indeed I was. I contacted him yesterday just to find out, was it true? You know, so listen, as he says himself, they were happy with, you know, after last week's performance, that they were able to put up a big score, and they were able to, listen, no goals was the big thing. As he said, they'd worked on during the week that they, you know, to get the defensive structure in place. So they'll be happy with that there. But, you know, I don't think they'll be reading too much into it, you know. But listen, the big thing there, 11-14 is going to come up with is the scoring difference. Because that group could come down to that there. Who tops the group and scoring difference is going to have a big role to play in it. So they'll be very happy with that 11-14. Movil beat Narasa 2-9-6, you know. So that's Movil 2-1s from two. So going forward there, I think they don't play this week. I think they played Downings in round four, you know. So that'll be a big game there to see maybe who tops the group. You know, so there's three teams really fighting it out there. Movil, Downings and Letterkenny Gales to see who tops the group. Downings will be happy with that there. Big score they put up against Robert Emmons, because that there should put them in good stead for that.
Yeah, but brilliant roundup, Barry. It's a long time since I've seen an 11-14 in a game. I can only imagine. Listen, it's back to the drawing board for Robert Emmons. Barry, that's great. Listen, we'll catch up later as the two championships unfold, and we'll get you on again. Great talking to you.
Brilliant, Brendan. Okay, talk soon.
Right, folks, now we have top GA correspondent Decky Bogue on the line as we're going to take a wee whistle stop tour across the province to just see what GA stories are breaking and how things are with himself. How are you, Dec?
I'm very good, Brendan. Thanks for having me on.
You're a Fermanagh man now, but you've taken up residency in Tyrone. What's that like?
Well, I suppose I've been here since 2010 in Oma and living at Nicloy now. So I've been here 10 years. Before that, I was sort of moved around. I was a bit of a nomad for years anyway. So I probably wouldn't be a home bird in the way that a lot of people are. So, but it's interesting to observe a different county and their values and their own sort of footballing culture, I suppose, here is a big thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting to get a different flavour, even though you're literally only 25 mile up the road. It's still a very different sort of area, you know?
Yeah, we're always trying to observe Tyrone, all right, and find out everything we can. There's some rivalry. Dick, just looking across the province, you know, we have it here in Donegal, we group stages, and there's a lot being made of some of the games. But, you know, talking to you previously, you were saying, listen, certain group stage games doesn't matter, because the better teams, when it comes down to knockout stage, are going to be on a different level. And you highlighted Cross McGlenn in that, taking a hammer in one of the group stage games.
Well, yeah, that was Bally McNabb. I think that might have been that was a league, because Cross have got or Armagh, after years of going with the group stages, they actually went with a straight knockout this year. They changed. They're one of the very few that actually changed from a group stage system to a knockout system. And but so that was an early league game. Bally McNabb would be seen as one of the better teams, yes. And there was a wee bit of gnashing of teeth about Cross, but like Cross McGlenn, when it comes to championship, are always going to be a different animal. And whether some people may have felt Silverbridge would have put it up to them, they certainly want to fancy themselves. Like, and Cross will definitely be featuring Armagh in the later stages. It's up to quarter final stage now, but it would be hard to see them not involved in the decider.
Yeah, and after 41 years, Armagh felt one in the Championship of Derry last year, but Glenn put one over them at the weekend. Again, Slot Neil, Hammer and Corrine. Are you reading much into those games?
Well, you can to a certain extent. You know, I mean, Glenn, I don't know, Derry put out a tweet there showing the start of that Glenn Maharfell game, and I think it was, and I could be wrong, but the midfielder, I think it was Jack Doherty, but I could be wrong, grabbing the ball from the throw-in and racing upfield and scoring, and from the very next play was the kick out. Danny Tallon got on the ball, and both of them went straight through the middle and scored. So, like, after 40 seconds, Glenn were 2 points up. But the point of it was that these both teams lined up extremely traditional, 15 on 15 with no sweepers. And anyone who watched Maharfell last year would have known that their success came from their sweeper system. So both, while Glenn will be encouraged by the win, they will know that Maharfell were completely throwing a curveball, at least at the start of the game. I don't know how it went on after that. But you see a lot of that in the group stages is, you know, we'll get enough here that we don't finish bottom of our group and then come up against the top seed in another group, but at the same time we'll not be showing our hand.
Looking at the Cavan there, a story that broke, Gerard McKiernan, as we'd all know, a fine big county midfielder, left Swan Lombardy. Cavan Gales, there was rumours of money involved, etc. But, you know, that tough thing about a guy playing in a lower league, looking to play in the senior championship, but going to the very strong Cavan Gales, I think it upset a few people in Cavan football.
Well, the curious thing about that is that Anthony Ford had made exactly the same journey about 20 years previously. He went from Shannon Gale, he went from Shannon Gales, which is Black Lion, which is, again, though it's West Cavan. And sort of, if you look at the shape of Cavan as a county, it's sort of like a panhandle almost. Like, you know, the West Cavan would not be seen at all as having football and tradition. Historically, I'm talking about. I kind of get disappointed when I see moves like that, like Avanti Ford to Cavan Town and Garo to Cavan Town, and where lads just want to test themselves. But that is the club that, you know, sort of nurtured you and brought you through, and you know these things never. They can be a good fit for the player and good fit for the club that's getting it. But, I mean, it sort of lessens us all. It takes away from the work that's going on in small clubs when they lose their best players. And not many in Cavan will really be particularly upset apart from those in Swan and Bar, to be honest. You're all about paddling your own canoe, really.
That's certainly a big boost to the Gales who have a player like that into your ranks, Dick. But, Dick, just taking a look across to Tyrone now in the Championship, a couple of interesting ties, going straight knockout, Dromore v Oma would probably be the biggest one for you, Clonoe, Cole Island. Some interesting ties come up, defending champions Trillick are playing Galloway.
Yeah, you know, the Oma Dromore one's interesting because the first league game of the year they played, and it got very feisty and a few fisticuffs and all that. And I think that game was being streamed. And because it was being streamed, there was shots of the crowds. And I'll tell you, there was no, you know, that was a week where it was meant to be no spectators. And there was plenty of spectators there that day. And also, like, it's, you know, it's Dromore Oma, they practically back into each other. Look, Tyrone Club Championship always is an unbelievable space, but, like, you know, it is absolutely hell for leather stuff. Like, and you see Clonoe and Cull Island, well, that is basically another case of two neighbours. And Damien O'Hagan, the Cull Island manager, made a remark there last week about Clonoe. He said, well, they have their professional management in place, so hopefully we can stick with it. Something like that, but he used the phrase professional management, presumably referring to the fact that Stephen McDonald now is in his first year in charge of Clonoe. So I am sure you know, back in the days, they used to talk about newspapers being stuck, you know, against the dressing room door. But, you know, nowadays, I suppose it might be an iPhone with a printout of a tweet or something like that. But certainly there'll be a little bit of motivation from the Clonoe lads. And Clonoe have had Conor McCaskey there, and all year he has said he's not going back to Tyrone. That doesn't really make a difference because he wouldn't be training with Tyrone now anyway. But certainly he has started the season in a serious panic to run up big scores. That'll be another humdinger. Trillick, Galbally, Trillick have been wobbling at the start, but you'd imagine they would have, you know, they'll be very resilient. They'll be very resilient when it comes to it. And Galbally, this is their first time back up in senior championship in a good way. Like, any of those games would be magnificent games to get along to for the atmosphere and all that. And, you know, say a Friday, Saturday night in Healy Park and Pomeroy and Carrickmore and all these venues. It's only really when these games take place that you're going to actually say, Jesus damn it, like, you know, isn't this thing really awful? Like, you know, I mean, as much as the pandemic affects every one of us in our day-to-day lives, see when those really tasty marshals come along, those big championship days out in counties like Derry, Donegal, Tyrone, like, people will really, really miss their football and hurling then.
Big time, big time. Madeleine Donnelly's back for Trillick. Cal McShane, bad news in his injury at the weekend.
Yeah, well, I suspected he had bad news a long time ago with that, to be honest, and he's just been waiting for his operation. But Owen Rose and like Patrick there would be very stuck without him. Like, you know, I mean, they would be a club that have come up from junior ranks only in recent times. And no, they would be struggling without him, and he'd be gone for the Intercounty Championship.
That's even
if it takes place.
And Dick, what's your feeling on that? Do you think that the senior championship will take place?
I don't think it will. And I'll tell you my reasons for it. 2 years ago, Kevin McStay outlined that it was costing Roscommon, I don't want to get this figure wrong, I think it was something in the region of £18,000 a week. Mm. You know, that would be, right? That was paying for, now that might be at the height of championship where you've got a huge amount of backroom staff and you're probably outsourcing maybe the lack of video analysis for someone to splice and cut and point out all the things you're looking for. Quite often it's a third party, it's a company like Kerry have it. All the county, basically every county will have it, like there's no doubt about that. Some just will keep it in house, others will pay a third party to do it. Then you've got your nutritionists and physiotherapists and all that. Then you might have, in the case of Roscommon, they have their own transport, which is a bus. Bus hire can be extremely expensive. Hotel rooms, even hiring out meeting rooms or using other clubs' facilities. All this goes into an enormous amount of money. And then we haven't even touched on the fact that you're paying mileage for about 35 players and management team. So clubs are not making any money because they can't have any people in the ground, right? So you're not making your £5 or your £8 or whatever it is that you charge in at the gate. County boards make their money off club championship. So if you're going to have Glenties versus a Guido, which normally would get a crowd of maybe, I don't know, 2,000, 1,500, everyone paying in about 10 euro at the gate, you're not going to get that money whatsoever. Then all of a sudden, you know, Who's going to pay for all this? Where the county boards are running dry because these things, you know, no county board sitting storing and hoarding money. I mean, if anything, the financial woes of counties like Galway and Kildare, Cork, down through the last number of years, have shown that basically every county board are living hand-to-mouth existence. So if the county board have absolutely no money and a county manager wants to train his players X amount of times a week leading into a championship, where's that money going to come from? Are players going to have to be asked to waive their expenses? And if it's not going to make any money, the GAA aren't sitting on a big pile. This, you know, misconception that the GAA have vats of gold is nonsense. Like, you know, so.
Al Martin's on previously, Dick, and he did say that they basically used up, you know, whatever money, the resources they have. They every year what they take in, they send out. Would it be a case that Croke Park would have to go and get some kind of a loan or some kind of a finance backup to back up the championship? Like, surely it couldn't come down to a fact that money's going to stop us getting the championship, because the championship itself is going to create X amount of money. You know, surely the government would get involved as well if it needed some proper.
Right, okay, look at your revenue streams, right? How can a championship create money?
What about the TV audience, for example?
Well, you can get a certain amount of streaming, right? That is one avenue that will open up big time. But I mean, you're talking about streaming. What are you streaming that RTE and Sky Sports haven't already got their first dibs on, right? So that money is there from before, or it's been, you know, it'll be altered or there'll be, but you already have banked on that. But, you know, if you look at any of the annual reports, they might show you just how many games that the GA makes money out of. And that is, it's actually incredible how few games actually turn a profit for the GA. You can look at Christy Ring Cup, Laurie Maher, Nicky Rackard, and the truth of the matter is it costs the GA to host nearly each and every game in those competitions. For a Tauchin Cup, that'll be the same. That's the truth of it. So it is only when it gets to Super 8's time or provincial finals where the GA are actually bringing in big bucks that fund all this. And if you don't have, you know, if you don't have 28,000 at an Ulster final and you have 200 people, well, I mean, do the math. Like, you know, you'll multiply that figure by whatever it costs for a ticket on the day, be it 20 quid or 25 quid, depending on where you are in the ground. It's just it's insane the amount of money that they'll not be able to lay their hands on. The GA have never been an organisation that wants to run itself in debt, and there's no way that they're going to do that just to have a party, if you want to call it that, in 2020, because it would absolutely sink the prospect of having anything in 2021. Now, I admit maybe I have thought deeply about this and perhaps I'm deeply pessimistic, but I just don't see where it's going to happen or how it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. That gets a bit of a harsh reality on this, and that could be the way it goes. Dick, we just have a couple of minutes left. There was a worrying story from Belfast there. Could you update us on the ins and outs of it?
Yeah, these Belfast GA have set themselves up, and it would be an area of town that people wouldn't at all think about Gaelic games. But that's part of it. Like, I mean, South Belfast never had any real Gaelic games. There was a bit of Breda was there, you know, in Cherryvale, and that has grown. It has grown over the last 30 years, but far bigger than they ever thought, you know, they might have been. And then St. Bridget's came along, the other club up the Malone Road. And then East Belfast, like every other part of the north, is becoming more cosmopolitan. There's different people moving in. And the old strongholds that were there sort of historically, like that would have worked in the shipyards and so on, that sort of culture's all, it's disappeared really. So what you've got is a big mixture of people, and a couple of lads put out a tweet asking what would the appetite be like for a club. They wanted a completely cross community, and they wanted anyone with any interest whatsoever. The numbers that have signed up have been absolutely amazing, and there's been a serious amount of positivity towards them, and even like, you know, GA figures within Ulster Council and so on have thought this is just a magnificent development. But unfortunately, there was a security scare when they were training at the Henry Jones playing fields, I think they call it, last week, and then a number of players then had to actually check under the cars because, you know, of devices being strapped to the cars. So anyway, one of the co-founders, Dave McGreevy, former London player, down lad, he actually was talking there and said that they're being suitably vague in a statement they made, right, about they have been assured that this is not any sort of community groups. By that, read between the lines, I would say they've had reassurances through East Belfast representatives and politicians that this is not paramilitaries, this is not an organised targeting of East Belfast GA by whatever group, the Red Hand Commando, UVF, LVF, whatever you want to call them, I'd say this is one or maybe two individuals that are out to do a wee bit of damage and just you know, act the you know yourself, like just the kind of people that just make you feel a deep depression for the future, you know.
Thankfully, Dick, you know, they're on the minimum side of things, and certainly the smaller element. And you look at sport has been brilliant across the north, and particularly recently, you know, between soccer and Gaelic and hurling, there seems to be, as you said, Dick, that newer generation coming through every time they come through, particularly going up to university and meeting up, and things are always improving, but there always can be a quick drag back to the dark old days, which is unfortunate. But Dick, that's a fantastic roundup. Dick, thanks so much for skipping across Ulster there for us, and I'll catch up with you soon. And this county thing mightn't come about. I thought I was going to say to you, I'll see you down the road, maybe at a game in Croker or something, but maybe not.
Thanks very much, Bren. No problem. Anytime at all.
Dick, good man. Take care, sir. Check this. Looking ahead to next week, we have some fascinating fixtures coming down the road, as we mentioned, but a huge one in the ladies is Glenfinn versus Termon. Glenfinn having a huge one at the weekend. We're going to get expert analysis on that and on the hurling. I want to thank my guest today, Peter Campbell, Barry Meehan, and of course Declan Bogue. I want to thank Oisin Kelly for producing. Thanks very much for listening in, and I'll talk to you next week.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love. Book now to enjoy the Sarah's experience.